reimagine retirement. Welcome to Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. We believe that retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful season of a person's life. So don't retire. Become repurposed. Well, I'm your host, Jared Sebestum, the co-founder of Retire Repurposed, alongside Ben Tejas. Thank you so much for joining us today. Maybe you're listening to us on the radio. Maybe you found us online. Regardless, head over to iTunes, find our podcast, and subscribe. Better yet, leave us a quick positive rating and review. If you just take a moment and do that, we would appreciate that so much. Now, this podcast is all about retirement, but it's not about money. It's about the non-financial parts of retirement, which many times can be even more challenging than the financial. Few people can just flip the switch from working a career 30, 40 plus years, saving, building a nest egg, then shutting it off on Retirement Friday without methodical steps to living what we call a repurposed retirement. If you want more for your life and your retirement, then you have come to the right place. Well, on this episode, we continue our series on retirement happiness. Society tells us that retirement is the time when we can truly live and be happy. But does retirement make good on that promise? And furthermore, what makes us happy in the first place? Today, we talk about making every day count. While relaxation is great in retirement, losing track of time in such a way where every day feels like Saturday is a red flag. In this podcast, Ben explains a framework you need to have to utilize each day, and he gives five things each day should include in the life of a retiree. Enjoy this episode. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the show. We are so glad that you are joining us here on Retire Repurpose. We've got a great show in store for you today. Of course, I say that every single week. Admittedly, I'm a little biased, but this is going to be a great show. We're going to talk about really making every day count. We are going to dissect how to break down every single day of a retiree's life. And this is really the foundation of this entire series within a series where we talk about time. So again, a very important show here today, and we are so glad that you are joining us. Before we get started, just a reminder, we've got a Facebook group designed specifically for you. It is called Becoming Repurposed in Retirement. Join a growing community of people that refuse to accept the typical American dream retirement. This has all the latest and greatest content. Anything we throw out on the show here at any given time, if there's a study, a chart, something we want to show, we put it there. Links to all of our latest seminars, they're all there. So if you want kind of the inside scoop of everything we talk about on the podcast, this is where you find it. Go to facebook.com and search Becoming Repurposed in Retirement. Click join to join this growing community of people that refuse to accept the typical American dream retirement. All right, we have come a long way in the last, I would say, dozen plus shows. We are breaking down this time, talent, treasure framework. We talked explicitly about the treasure piece, the money piece. Then we talked about the talent piece. And we spent several shows really getting into the crux of really what being repurposed is all about. Last week, we introduced the time piece, and we had a show called The Biggest Waste of Time. Ben Tejas joins me on the show here today. And, you know, again, for people that maybe haven't been following along, Ben, give people a little breakdown of what these last 12 to 13 episodes have all been about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to break them all down, but I mean, I think the big picture look at this entire, all of our work lately has been around this time, talent, treasure piece. So, you know, we went through treasure first, because I think that's key. I think we have to have people's mindset correct and how they look at their money. When you come into retirement, or any age that you're at, understanding how important money is to you know, how you look at life. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that question with people I work with is, you know, what was money like when you were a kid? Mm-hmm. And then they start to really open up about that. So I think understanding somebody's view of money, whether that's a healthy one or not, of course, in those shows, we talk a lot about the money disorder. I think that's key. I think understanding that many of us have more than we need. We do have plenty. And yet our time is dominated by thinking about worrying about what if I lose what I have? And yeah. I think that's something that people had to understand first and foremost. And then looking at, you know, really our talent. The second, I think usually when I ask clients, what's the most important thing, it's they come back with time is first, and we're talking about it today. Then it's talent. And lastly, it's treasure. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the interesting thing. You know, in our work, it seems like all we want to talk about is the treasure piece. Mm-hmm. So that was certainly, where we want to start. Moving into talent and now into time, I'm excited to kind of bring it full circle here because this is where the rubber hits the road, right? Yeah. The actual tactical day-by-day things and the way you schedule your time.
Yeah, we would say that your time is the most important piece of the three, and our clients would say the same thing, but we have to start with the treasure piece, and you mentioned, again, kind of resolving that money disorder. I was just thinking about this morning, and we really didn't talk about this, and maybe there could have been an entire show just on this, but it came up during a phone call I had with some potential clients last week. And I said, and I really didn't think about the statement. It just kind of came to my mind and I said it kind of shooting from the hip. But I said that there's a fine line between saving and hoarding, where saving is good. Financial planning in retirement is spectacular. Hoarding bad. And there's a fine line between the two. Ben, have you did any thoughts on that? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here and going off script. But do you have any thoughts to that on kind of where that line is with people's hearts and people's minds?
Well, I think when we start to, we talk about life deferral, in what we do, we talk about, saving for retirement and deferral and putting money away. But I think when you start looking at life deferral, when you're just prolonging and waiting to live, mm-hmm. right? And you're saying, yeah, someday I'm going to begin doing the fun stuff. Someday I'm going to, give more to charity. That's what I love. It's like, yeah, when I make it, when I have a certain amount, that's when I'm really going to get serious about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take those special trips someday. And I think that ends up looking like, if it's part of, we talk about budgets all the time and how important it is for retirees to budget in the travel, to budget in the giving to charity, to budget in those experiences. I think when you are trying to build a huge nest egg, when you're trying to build up this wealth out here, and again, we look at wealth and income as two very different sides of money, right? And I think when people get so worried about how much wealth they have, I think that's when the problem comes in and they get so concerned about, not only building this wealth, but also mm-hmm. keeping it. And, Bill Gates likes to say, and I've heard him, be quoted this way, is, after a certain point, mm-hmm. it's the same hamburger,
right?
So there's something to having some degree of income, because you need income to live. But when you get beyond that and all you're focused on is this, whatever it be, a million, there's always going to be the next million. Mm-hmm. And then it's a billion, there's the next billion. And you hear that amongst people who are just, there's a selfish piece to that.
Yeah.
It's like, I've got to have more. I've got to have more. I've got to have more. And you hold on to that so tightly.
Yeah. I think that answering the question, when is it enough? And if you're always thinking it's the next level, red flags need to be going off, because you're going to say to yourself, because you've helped so many people, it's never enough. And really, I don't know if people would really maybe admit to this, but there's a fear element that's coming into play as well, because if there wasn't, this is my argument, if there wasn't, why would you have to have the next level always? Because it's a moving target. When you get into that hoarding and we're holding on tightly, there's something that's off. And again, we're trying to release that from holding on so tightly and giving that up. We talked about how generosity and giving can be the antidote to that.
Yeah, it is. Giving is, when you can free, you make it a tight, closed fist around a dollar bill and then just release it, how that feels, right? And that really is what it becomes for people. When you start to just break the power of money, and there's a reason that, the Bible talks about money over 2,300 times, because of that internal struggle that we see. And it's not a bad thing. It's the love of money, right? That's the bad thing. The money itself is just the tool. So mm-hmm. I think starting with the treasure piece is really important. And then moving into treasure, yep. These last couple shows, moving into talent, these last couple shows, talent, with retirees, I'm always thinking, when I meet with people, they have at that age so much to offer by way of life experience, by way of abilities that and passions, things that they're, mm-hmm. they want to do more. Many yep. times we just got to bring that out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Pulling the gold out of people. That's one of our jobs, is to really look at retirement as now the time to really walk into fullness. And that's again, an underlying motivation for why we're even doing this particular series. If you have missed these shows, especially the ones talking about treasure, so important. We got into talent. Again, so important. Last week, we teed up this idea of time, and we actually titled last week's show The Biggest Waste of Time, and we're not going to spend a lot of time dissecting that particular show, but really, it was about making sure that retirement was not the biggest waste of time, where we're just having an abundance of free time, avoiding work. No, it's being very efficient with our time. So that's going to move us into today's show. We're titling today's show, Making Every Day Count. Again, we've said it on the show, we don't want every day turning into Saturday. We don't want that feel. There's a rhythm to our life while we are working. We believe that the rhythm should actually feel the same. We're being efficient, where we're making sure that things are getting done. Let's just start off by talking about what are some of the dangers of that kind of every day becoming Saturday lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, before we even look at dangers, I got to tell you, Jared, I do hear that. And it's almost not a... when people say every day is starting to look like the same, every day is looking like Saturday, it's almost like a badge of honor mm-hmm. for some people. When they're, it's like, yeah, you know, it's great. Every day is Saturday. I oftentimes hesitate and think, oh, that it's kind of nice to have that feel, right? You get more time. I think that's part of retirement, is you get more time to do what you like to do, and work is removed. The time that it took you to go to work during the week is removed. Therefore, it does start to feel like a Saturday. But when I hear a new client or one of our existing people that we meet with say something like, yeah, every day is a Saturday, it's great. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, is it great? Is there too much of that same feeling of every day starts to look the exact same, because you're getting lost within your schedule. You're getting lost within what day of the week it is. That's another thing I hear is that, yeah, I'm retired. I don't know what day of the week it is.
Right. Not a good thing.
No, I think there's some positives to that,
right.
In that it can be a restful time, but I think it's that the dangers are that you just start letting time slip away, mm-hmm. and you're not diligent in getting things done and scheduling, and you're just kind of living, mm-hmm. and I think there's some freedom to that, but also some serious dangers.
Yeah, absolutely. In their defense, this is what the world feeds people. Again, society over the last many decades has said, you know, this is the essence of life, where you can remove work. And now time is just kind of an endless commodity that is infinite. And you know, we can just kind of do whatever. And the more whatever you're doing with your days, and the more you're able to just kind of float through, the better. And again, we just don't believe in that, because it slows down the machine. It allows some of these things that we know are so unhealthy for retirees to kind of slide into our schedule and kind of take over their life.
Yeah, no, I think, Jared, sometimes we when we see that begin to play out in somebody's life, that they're not being diligent about their time, and they're just kind of existing, you know, versus living, mm-hmm. We start to see them. The first thing, I think, they stop moving. You know, they just kind of, you know, one thing leads to the next, and all of a sudden their day is gone, mm-hmm. right? And many times they missed out on moving. And I think that's a huge one.
Yeah. I think of the Jim story in your book, Repurposed, where he was a factory worker. He retired probably before he was ready, admittedly, on your part. But again, retirement made him slow down and also start to isolate. Lots of time being sedentary and isolation, they kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
Yeah, Jim kind of started watching way too much television. He never was a big television guy. And I think for some people today, you know, sometimes we get caught up in, you just waste time. One of the biggest time wasters is probably, TV and social media, the exact yeah. thing that we're having people, like, we're videoing this, right?
Right.
And the chances of people will be watching this. And I've gotten in that habit of scrolling through things. And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. If you do that, and the content you're watching is, you know, a random
cat
video,
which I've watched.
Yeah, where is my time just went?
Right.
And I think the key is this stuff is all great, but it has to add some value to you.
Yeah.
Right? And what Jim was doing when he first retired, he was just mindlessly watching TV because he was filling his days, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With just, he was bored. And I think that was a huge part of it, brought him isolation.
Mm-hmm.
He started to withdraw, and I think that was a huge part of really what made Jim go downhill.
Yeah, I can even tell when I get sucked into just kind of endlessly scrolling. I typically don't feel great about myself. I feel a bit convicted over I'm not being as efficient with my time as I should. Many times I'm doing this, and maybe my kids are in the house, and I feel that nudge of like, wow, what if I spent this time being more intentional with my time? You know, we brought up Parkinson's Law. You know, if you give a project or a thing a certain amount of time as a boundary, it will always fill up that time. And again, I think of retirement as really boundaryless, where we don't really ever give ourselves time constraints. That's the point of retirement. I don't have to do those. But again, that's an unhealthy way to live. Any comments on that?
Jared, I think sometimes the boundaries of work and our careers actually were positive. You know, I mean, yeah, schedule is not always a negative thing. Having a boundary of when you get up, when you move around, when you go to work, when you take lunch breaks, when you, you know, that can be a positive thing, because schedules can also make sure you do certain things. Yeah. And I think that's a positive part of having a schedule is, yeah, there's some things that you don't want to do that weren't as beneficial for you when you were working. You didn't like this part of your job. Well, that's the benefit of retirement, is you can remove that and bring in some of this stuff that you want to be scheduling for yourself.
Let's talk about what should each day have. There's a general template that we'll get to here in a little bit, but name some pillars. What should every day include so every retiree can make every day count?
Yeah, Jared, I think that really we have to have our mindset right about our days when we look at them. There's certain really mental things, I think, that are important to every single person's day. I think the first one's gratitude. I think when we come on our days from a spirit of gratitude, I've done that in my own life. I can tell the difference. My days are just better when I say, no, I have to start my day, potentially end my day with just a feeling of gratitude. It changes the way we look at each and everything during that day. Yep. When you start from a spirit of gratitude, and then I think reflection, right? So if you can end that day, making sure that you reflect on some of the positive times during that day, but also the negative ones. Sometimes we forget. We learn more about ourselves, I think, through the negative experiences. Mm-hmm. So I think you start there, right? Those are important pieces of how you look and how you think about your day. And then there's certain tactical things that we have to have in every day as well.
We'll get to that in just a second. My wife sent me an article. It was a scientific study, and it was something significant about 12 minutes. If you start your day with 12 minutes of focusing on the things you're thankful for, that could be a morning walk and you're having an attitude of gratitude. Maybe it's your morning commute. A lot of commutes are around 10 to 15 minutes. They said it literally changes your mental, almost a mental chemistry on how your brain functions. And so I think this idea of gratitude and reflection is good. And again, not to say there's a specific order, but if we had to pick one, starting the day with gratitude, ending the day with reflection would be a really good kind of overall template on how to have that mindset.
Yeah, Jared, I'm a person of faith. You know, I'm a believer. And sometimes I think I don't need a study to remind me of that, because I can see it. I can see it in my day. When I start a day and I'm like, I'm opening my day in prayer. I'm opening my day saying, okay, God, show me, number one, thank you for giving me another day to go about what I'm doing. What have you put in my life today? How can I notice people? How can I make a difference? How can I come into that day, you know, this day different, make a difference in your kingdom? I think those are the days where I do better. I just do. And I'm not always the best at that. I don't, again, always on this show, I'm saying, this is who I'm striving to be,
right?
Because my wife listens to the show. Yeah. And sometimes she's like, yeah, you said some things that don't, you know, but what I'm trying to be is somebody who, again, starts every day being thankful and ends every day, you know, just saying, what can I learn from this day?
Yeah, and I can't think of a better way to start or end a day in the life of a retiree than starting with gratitude and ending with reflection. All right, let's spend the last, we've got several minutes here to talk about this, but again, thinking a little bit more tactical. We talked about kind of the mindset that people should have, kind of some major pillars, gratitude, reflection. So let's get into what should every day, and maybe we don't mean this literally, like every single day needs to have these, but again, a little more tactical. What are some key elements that each day should have for a retiree?
Yeah, if I could pick out the biggest things, the most important things, that's what we'll cover. You've heard people talk about that, right? You set a jar out, and if you put the big rocks in first, mm-hmm. those most important things, the little pebbles kind of fit in the cracks. Sure. If you start with the pebbles, the rocks don't fit in. So these are the key components. Yeah. I think every retiree needs to make sure they're moving. Jared, it's so important. Again, when we lose the guardrails of activity that our job gave us, like what time you get up, and then when you start to move, you that's so important mm-hmm. that retirees recognize just how much movement their day's work and gave them. Yeah. Even if you had a sedentary job, you were moving to get to work, around work, back and forth in the office. Jim's story, back to him, mm-hmm. he had a work where he was up on a floor in manufacturing. He was all over the place, walking around. He put in a ton of steps. So I think it's important that retirees like engineer a lot of movement.
Yeah.
As you age, we've got a whole series on health in retirement, but as you age, your body naturally is slowing down. Mm-hmm. We want to keep some speed there, right? We want to keep moving.
Yeah. My dad just turned 80 last week, and he doesn't look 80. He doesn't act 80, that's for sure, but still works 10 to 20 hours a week as a maintenance man for a hotel chain. And, does he have aches and pains? Yes. But just last weekend we saw him and he's playing basketball, me and my son. Now, not very, we're not high intensity stuff.
He's not dunking.
No. But, just moving. And I was proud of him that he still is doing that. And again, I give the fact that he still is engineering movement into his schedule as a huge pillar of that. What's another one?
I think fun. I just want to have that one early too. Make sure you're enjoying retirement. I mean, it should be a fun time of life. It should be a time where you can engineer more of the hobbies that you have always wanted to do. That's part of it. That's part of having more free time. So make sure that you're smiling, that you're enjoying some hobbies. I think the next one would be, social time. And the best scenario is when you can get that fun with that social time, right? Mm-hmm. When you can combine. I mean, I'm hearing a lot of people playing a lot of pickleball lately.
Yeah.
Having some conversations with people in retirement that are like, yeah, it allows us to be in community, how God created us, mm-hmm. but also be enjoying, using our bodies and staying in shape.
Yeah, well, it's checking a number of boxes. We're moving our body. We're probably part of a community. We're with friends, probably laughing, having fun. And I mean, you want to talk about just good for the soul. That covers a lot of them.
Yeah, it does. And I think, when people get together and they're in community and they move, and they're doing things that they love, and maybe even for a great cause. I mean, you can start combining those things.
Yeah.
That's where people really you can really see people flourish.
Yeah. Now, again, we're not suggesting that it's all fun all the time, but it's not all work all the time. Adding value is there's a piece of the puzzle that needs to be in there as well, and that's contributing.
Yeah, I think when you end your day, hopefully you can reflect on, I made a difference in some buddy's life. I made a difference in my community, in the world, whatever that is. The thing I don't want to see in a retiree's life is where it starts to look selfish. If you end your day and you're like, I really focus solely on myself, I can promise you, that day could have been better. You will end somewhat empty when you're focusing solely on yourself. Because I've done that, Jared. Mm-hmm. This doesn't just apply for retirees. When we end a day and we're like, man, I really didn't make a difference in anybody else's life, mm-hmm. I think that's a recipe for disaster as far as doing that day after day after day. Mm-hmm. So again, you got to balance rest. You got to balance, making an impact in other people's lives, mm-hmm. and balance out some fun in there too.
Yeah, we've got about 30 seconds left. You mentioned it, rest. If you do these things, everything we talked about, you will not only have rest, you'll have really good rest.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't tend to rest very well if I haven't put in some work, right? That could be physical, mental. But when I have some what we call earned rest, this is time for retirees where they say, it's not just being lazy. It's laziness with a purpose, if you will. It's, yep. I worked really hard and I made a difference in somebody's life. Or I did something that was just amazing for somebody. I enjoy that feeling of then coming down off that high and getting that what we call earned rest.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation about making every day count in retirement. If you would like a copy of Ben's book, Repurpose the Untold Story of Retirement in America, just go to our website, retirerepurposed.com. Until next time, I'm Jared Sebesta. Remember, don't retire, become repurposed. We'll see you then.
Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance services offered through an Avantax-affiliated insurance agency.
Well, hi, I'm Lori LeBay, and I wanted to tell you about Alzheimer's Speaks, which is another great podcast. You see, my own mother lived with dementia for 30 years, and I felt lost. Did you know every 3 seconds someone in the world is being diagnosed with dementia? Odds are it's going to hit your families too. We want to help you connect to services, products, tools, research, and stories so you can be prepared. Please subscribe to Alzheimer's Speaks on your favorite podcast platform.